From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show. This looks like a job for me, so everybody
just follow me, because we need a little controversy. My next guest has been exposing the atrocities of cronyism, corruption, abuse of power in government for decades. He's normally should be facing retirement, yet his fight against cronyism, corruption, and political misuse of power has never been greater. He's busier than ever, and he's already written 10 books. His name is Jim Bovaert. I wanted to talk to him about what we're facing in this decade, this next decade, where this kind of government corruption is tolerated among the American people. Jim, how are you?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for having me back on.
I mean, now the reality is you should be considering putting your feet up, retiring, yet how could you with all of this obvious corruption in government and the acceptance of it by people who are willing slaves?
I enjoy throwing rocks at the government, and it's the cheapest. It's cheaper than therapy.
Yes, it is. I'll tell you the truth. I don't even like weekends because I like exposing the corruption. And we were just going over with my audience the idea of HouseStockWatcher.com, where they expose that some of these Congress people are making in excess of 600 stock trades a year. And the vast majority of them are well worth over $5 million. Yet they're always down with the struggle of the ordinary man. I mean, at this kind of level, when you see what's going on, isn't it in their best interest to keep the system as corrupt as they have it right now?
Well, it certainly worked out well for people like Nancy Pelosi.
And when you see the objections of, really, how could I say it other than cheating and ridiculousness and ballot harvesting and counting the votes for weeks, and all of a sudden we've got winners that were losers when the election was going on? How does this happen without people pointing out that there's no possible way? Are they skeptical? Are there more people than me and you skeptical of the outcomes of these elections?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of people who are skeptical. I don't know what the percentage is. But I think it's growing, and there were a lot of people who had a lot of questions about the 2020 election result. Not saying it was stolen, but there were just an awful lot of asterisks and question marks, and as you said, ballot harvesting and these mystery boxes on the side of the streets in Wisconsin that were illegal, according to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So
Philadelphia is astonishing to me. And listen, I have no Dr. Oz. I don't like men that dye their hair. But that being said, you're running
as
against,
a bald guy. I agree.
You're running against someone who cannot speak. Has America devolved so far that we're willing to tolerate any buffoon as long as they give us something like the former Soviet Union or Cuba today? Is this where our fellow citizens are? Are they so corrupted they really would vote for a tomato can if they promised to give them something for nothing?
Well, in fairness to Pennsylvania voters, I do have to point out that the GOP candidate was from New Jersey.
Yeah, but only some of the time. I mean, come on. I got Illinois. I have a 450-pound governor that every weekend goes up to Wisconsin to eat cheeseburgers. Well, he locks up his people so we can't go to Wisconsin. So the irony is not lost on me. However, the man can't speak.
I agree. It's fascinating to see how government is being defined down, because it used to be that, you know, there was an assumption that members of Congress would consider a bill and read it and debate it. They don't do that anymore. I mean, it's just
Jim, here's
the drive-by.
Here's the other difference that drives me nuts. I don't like when people call me a Republican. I attack the scum in the Illinois and the federal Republican Party. It is outrageous for me that we have this oligarch system where this fraud of a man, Mitch McConnell, married to a Chinese shipping heiress, is just the fall leader of the Senate or the Republican Senate. It's outrageous in Illinois. We had a guy step down whose family are lobbyists. We had another
poor mayor from Aurora who pretended to be a Republican while he was Ken Griffin's side girl. In the meantime, it's sickening. So I will call out the Republicans, and I would never vote for these scallywags. Yet the Democrats do not have this. They literally will vote for anybody the Democrats put in front of them.
Yeah, there was a phrase about 100 years ago. There were Southern voters who were known as a yellow dog Democrat, meaning that they would vote even for a yellow dog if that was a Democratic candidate.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So obviously, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Well, it's politics, and it's funny to see how the media tries to pretend that it's some lofty conflict of principle. It's just two gangs of looters in many cases, in Illinois.
And they have the same bank.
Yes, they have the same bank, and unfortunately, folks like us are stuck with the currency from that bank, vanishing currency.
I'm watching this spectacle in Georgia. I am not a sports guy. So I say this to you, and I do not know the coach's name of the Chicago Bears, and I don't care. I don't know a player, and I don't want to know a player. So I say this to you as someone who is not a sports guy. However, what I do know about Herschel Walker is that he was an outstanding athlete, number one. Number two, he was an Olympic athlete. He made the Olympics twice, 1980, and then again with the bobsled team. I also know that when I see him, I say to myself, he's not very articulate. However, what we have on the other side is somebody selling grace he doesn't possess and can't get a hold of, wearing a $6,000 suit, who takes the church money and evicts people from investments the church makes. So we got a real scumbag who also paid homage to somebody who has killed millions of people by the name of Fidel Castro. This is outrageous to me.
This is the reason that I never buy $6,000 suits, because people would doubt my character.
At least they used to, unless, of course, you deserved it and had an empire that you built. But that's few and far between. We do have a reverend who is a multi-millionaire who pretends to moonlight as a senator, who has sold out both the people of his state and the government, from what I can see, as he did a sermon on how great Fidel Castro, a communist leader who's killed millions of people. It's a sickening time in America. And what do you think will happen in Georgia?
I don't know, but I had a story in the New York Post on Saturday in which I was predicting that Biden would extend the student loan payment moratorium in order to help the Democratic candidate, to help Senator Warnock in the runoff, and that's what Biden did late this afternoon.
Can you imagine a time where the virtuous would be those that want to take advantage of their neighbor and not pay obligations they signed to? I say this in knowing how ironic it is after 2008, but are you depressed with the character of your fellow American?
I guess my expectations weren't that high. And it's sad to see how politicians have dragged Americans' characters down. They have trained them to beg for handouts. They have encouraged them to take loans, which then the politicians say you don't need to pay it back. The same thing is the Farmers Home Administration did this for decades, as far as wiping out loans that farmers took. So it's a mess, but it is an acid drip on the American character.
Now here's the optimist in me, the one that starts businesses and the ones that the one that always thinks their American principles will win out. This could also be an opportunity shrouded in darkness of the current reality, but it could be an opportunity because so many people who fancied themselves to be Democrat are having a hard time swallowing the most obviously corrupt political whore this country's ever had in the White House. They're disgusted with the sun. They're disgusted with what's going on. Is there not an opportunity to maybe start something that I believe I am, which is a classical liberal? I don't want to force anybody to do anything. I am not a Republican. I find that to be repulsive, but I will not tolerate the mafia calling themselves Democrats. Is there an opportunity here to start a liberal party?
Perhaps. I don't know. I wish more folks understood the underlying principles as you do and as you explain to your audience, because it's not a gray area what's going on, and it's driving the country over the edge financially and morally in many ways.
And in that driving it over the edge, once again, we give strength and weapons to the common enemy of the people, the government, which is held by no bounds of reality. The more it fails, the stronger it gets, the more money it gets. It's in their best interest to have the rest of the people poor, because then before you know it, you'll do what you did to every Chicagoan, and you'll make them hoping for $500 cash out a month and tolerating the kind of mafia that runs the city. And maybe that's the goal of the Democrats.
I think that there are some Democrats who would honestly like to make a better society, a lot of them are misguided on economics. Then there are others who are simply there to loot the system, the same as a lot of the GOP folks. I mean, it was a party that gave us Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney.
Jim Bolvard, I think this might be our fault. I'll tell you what I mean by this. When we were kids and young men, starting off being men, making things, trying to achieve goals we set for ourselves, we sat idly by as the morons in society went to work for the government. And isn't this just our chickens coming home to roost, as the corrupt morons are the ones in charge now?
No, because I've spent 40 years throwing rocks at the government and trying to expose their lies and crimes. You know, I don't know what else I could have done.
All right.
I could have written better.
So you're exempt.
That's a different story.
But I think I gave you an idea for your next book. This is our fault as we let the stupid, corrupt people go work for the government. Now they're in charge. Oh, I like that.
This is how it's always been, though. I mean,
yeah, but they were better dressed and they weren't so slovenly. You see how many fat bastards we have around us? It's outrageous to me. Take a look at Pritzker, and then you tell me if you can imagine American when you were a kid voting for somebody who looked like that. When I was a kid, they didn't even hire fat people, let alone elect them.
Pritzker, he was the one who had the property tax scam with his toilets in his mansion.
Yeah. And then he blamed his wife, as if she doesn't have enough problems. She has to see him naked.
Good luck to her.
Yes, and the help that has to get them ready when they're in the mood. In the meantime, I love the fact that you're everywhere, but you're mainly been in the New York Post for a while. Where else can my people see the writings of Jim Bolvard?
I've got a piece at American Institute for Economic Research today. I do stuff for Libertarian Institute, Mises Institute. I'm going to be doing some stuff for the Brownstone Institute. I'm a board of contributors, USA Today. Been a while there, but...
You know what's funny? I always get guests that are similar to you and to myself, warriors for the idea of liberty and Americanism, and we're getting up there. We're all getting much older. I want to see a new crop of kids. I want to see a young Rothbard. You think we can get one?
Probably.
Yeah, let's see if he has any kids. In the meantime, thank you for everything. I so appreciate you coming on, Jim.
Hey, thanks so much, Sean. Really appreciate that.